You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Atlas knows what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Off the chain, brother. Off the chain.
Larry's on. Larry, I got you muted out. That's why you we won't answer. We can't hear you there. But you're on. You're good. Well, Tom, how you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good, man. I just tuned in here, and we got our lovelies in the chat room, and of course, there's got to be a couple of people in there that everybody's wanted, even the naysayers and the guy who's got a stupid name called I Farted. Trying to name that. But that's okay, and he spelled farted wrong. But they're all having problems out there for some reason. They says that they're getting no sound, Marco.
Well, let me go check our little station thing here.
See what's the problem.
See what
otherwise,
the little thing says.
Everybody out there around the globe, it's beautiful weather in most places. Talk to people in California, it got up to 90 degrees. Talk to people in Alabama, and where they said it was hot and humid. Talk to people in Louisiana, they said the same. But talk to people in Canada, and they said it's still wintertime up there. So we're going to see what's going to happen. You know, I told you guys back in October that this is some crazy weather that we're going to experience. I told everybody about the increase in gas. And they're all coming back now telling me the same story. Oh, my God, Tom, you were right. Yes, I was right, people. It didn't happen maybe that day, it didn't happen that month, but it was around the corner, and it's going on, and it's going to continually rise. Watch what happens, okay? Watch what happens. I just want to recognize Billy Green, Connie Gilbert, Jan Allen, even you too, I'm a naysayer. You're entitled to your opinion, even though that, you know, people who have names like I'm a naysayer and doesn't have guts enough to come on board and tell us who you really are, you're welcome, okay, until you get too much out of line, then they're going to boot you. But the thing about it is we're going to educate you because we know that you don't know too much about what's going on. Lance Garrison, hi, buddy. Lee Joyner, my brother from another mother. Leroy Blevins, love you, man. Mike Kay in Ohio. Mount Monaduck, I don't know where that is. Rex Howdy Shell, love you, baby. Rosebud, kisses going out to you, darling. The Secret, my gentle giant. There's a wonderful man. And then whoever this guy is, who forted, not farted, but F-O-R-T-E-D. Maybe you and I'm a naysayer should get together. You guys would make a hell of a couple. Got a great show for you guys. Great, great show. Before we get into all that, I want to give a little bit of kudos and salutations to my son. You know, he went under the knife and to get back to good out there in Arizona. And you guys know who I'm talking about, Alex Hearn. And I got to say about my adopted mama from Mitch Waite. God bless that woman. She's still going strong. And I just can't wait to see her. I just really can't. You know, I really want to do that. And it's an honor that I talk about her each and every week. I hope she's getting better, Mitch. We'll find out when we get you on. Where would I be without my Connie Gilbert? You know, she's in that chat room, and she's fighting my battles as she normally does. She doesn't let nobody get to her. God bless her. And all the rest of the guys and all the rest of the people out there. I want to tell you guys something. We've all gone through a lot of terrible things throughout the last decade with 9/11. Let's hope now that it's behind us what was done. I don't know. I think that we should just move on with our lives, try to get this country back in order. And most of all, my gosh, most of all, please, we need to have peace and harmony and think about getting jobs for all of our people out here and stimulate this economy some way. Because I'll tell you right now, it is tough. It is really tough for so many people. Even though you hear this propaganda going on that, oh, well, it's getting better and people are going to work and this and that. Bullshit. It's not, ladies and gentlemen, it's not. It really isn't. You know, the housing situation is still declining. A friend of mine called me from down in Las Vegas. He just closed his house a month ago. You guys are going to love this story. He paid $77,000 for his home. That was like $400,000. Paid $77,000 two or three months ago. He calls me on Sunday or last week sometime and says, Tom, guess what? For the price I paid, I'm $27,000 underwater already, and I just closed 2 months ago. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, his house is worth $50,000, and he paid $77,000 and just closed it two months ago. Think about that. That's something to ponder. I got to tell you, so much going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. Now is the time, okay? Spring is hitting. Summer is going to be here. These creatures are on the move. It's going to happen. The ones that are up north, they're going to come down to the south now, okay? Remember that, or vice versa. They're all going to, the ones that are in south will go to the north for the cooler weather. But I'm telling you right now, there's going to be, in the next 30 to 60 days, there's going to be a plethora of phone calls and sightings to the press, to the media, to the news. Of course, after we get away from all this gruesome crap that's gone on since Sunday. But watch what happens. And oh, by the way, I'm a naysayer. If you've got the balls to come forward, and I don't know if you're a guy or a girl, and forgive me for saying this, and you want to talk to me personally, I will talk to you and try to make you understand, okay, what life's all about. I have no idea who you are, but I don't like anybody disturbing my people. And my people are my family. So if you screw up my family and my people, you're going to screw up me. And you will not like what you get in return. Let me tell you that, okay? So I don't like that going on. Connie, do something about that person, would you? See if they got balls enough to give you their phone number and you talk to them. Okay, let's get to our first guest here tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Tom, we forgot Jody Boone. She's recovering also,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Jody, no, that's all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard us talk about her. She is just the most incredible gal. She's been in the hospital, and you have no idea what's going on. She's back. This gal had us at the edges of our seats when she told us our stories. She's had a few run-ins with BFRO and Matt Moneymaker. We plan to have her on next week sometime. So hopefully, she'll fill us all back in, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for that, Marco Bill. And let me tell you this, Mr. or Mrs. Naysayer, whatever you may be, I don't have to threaten anybody. You'll be threatening because you're the one that's causing all the problem. I suggest you want to be a good person. Just say, you know, my mother used to say, God bless her soul, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. So the key to this whole thing is I'm not going to hold up my show for people like you, but the invitation is there. If you've got balls enough to show me who you are, I've got the balls enough to come back and talk at you civilly like a human being. So send me an email. You can get in touch with me, and you know my name. You're the one going around with the false I'm a naysayer and afraid to say who you are. Okay, so without any further ado, let's get out of there.
One other thing. For those people that are having a problem with the audio, I just checked everything out. All the streams are streaming. Just all they got to do is just refresh their web page if it was set up before it was, you know, before we switched the show on. Sometimes that'll happen. So refresh the web page.
Okay, I hope you guys heard it out there. Just refresh your web page. And let's go on. I've spent enough time with things that... Got anything else to say, Marco, before I start?
I'm done.
Good boy. I'm proud of you. Okay, let's get out there to New York. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk about Tim Holmes. This man is something else. So it just blows me away. Every time, he was one of the first guys that we ever went out to when we went on expedition back in 2005. So it had to have been 6-7 years ago or 2004. Don't remember. Without any further ado, let's get out to New York and talk to Tim. Tim, you out there?
Oh, yes. It sounds good to hear your voice again, but I know about that BFRO stuff, you know. You know how I hate Moneymaker.
Well, I got it.
You know, I hate that guy. I hate him.
Well, I don't know what's happening with him, and nor do I care, you know.
Yeah, I don't care either. He comes to New York City with these phony expeditions, and I just want to take my shotgun and welcome him here, you know, every time I see him.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear.
Moneymaker, please, not tonight.
That's his business, Tim, and this show isn't about him, and it's about
you. Know, we should waste our time talking about the BFRO, you know?
Let's waste our time, or let's waste our time, but let's talk about what's going on. I heard you got some three-toed creatures up there.
Yeah. I told Bill a month ago, I sent him a photo. I found some three-toe footprints in the mud down here. And, I mean, the stain is definitely on 2 feet. Last week, I had a better camera, and it was down in the same area next to the creek down here. And I found footprints again. And I have to apologize to everybody on your audience and all that. But as you know, Bigfoot hunters, you know, you don't sleep at night. And I was going to download everything on my computer and was eating. And everything spilled on the monitor, and the monitor went. But I will get the photos to you on Monday.
Oh, that would be wonderful, yeah. So tell me about what kind of weather conditions. What were you doing? How did this all come about? Was it by a creek bed, river bed? What was going on?
It's terrible weather conditions. It's like you got to sleep in a rowboat now, you know, and have some food and water. Bad conditions. It rains. It thunders every night. But this is strange. I was talking to the news today on 36, and, you know, they're fracking for natural gas now down here. And these footprints didn't show up until, you know, they started, you know, fracking for natural gas. And as everybody knows, when you drill for natural gas down here, you got to go, what, 1,200 feet in the ground. Then they, like, put dynamite in there, everything explodes. We're just wondering if this might have came, you know, it's a big hole when they're done. I mean, you could drive a car 1,200 feet in the ground. I'm just wondering if something came up from the ground that's just unearthed now that we didn't never knew about. But I was telling Bill last week, 3 days ago, this creature, Tom, I think it stands about 2 feet. It's definitely walking on 2 feet, and it's just roaming around the area. And, you know, I go down there in the morning time, and here's these footprints again, you know, all the way down. So there is something around here, and the strange thing about it, Bill was telling me that in the south, you guys have been finding footprints. Am I right?
In Louisiana.
Louisiana, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it's strange because these frackers and these oil companies are from the south, you know. So who knows what's going on, but obviously something's back on Earth again, and I'm searching for it. I'm down there every day in the woods. I mean, it's very dangerous down here in the woods, and I'm searching for it, and I'm getting pictures of it, and I'm sending it to you guys on Monday.
Well, let me ask you this. Tell me about the prints. How big? How deep in the mud? What was it like?
Wow. Like I said, I got to apologize because I couldn't send them to you, but I'll get them on Monday. I would say the print is, if you, everybody just take your hand and hold your hand out in front of you and just leave, you know, your three fingers up there. Now, just take that as a print. It's not big print. It looks like something that would be like a baby, at least, like I say, maybe 48 inches high. Definitely walks on 2 feet because I found one footprint here, the one here, the one here. And that's it. I haven't seen it, but it's definitely on 2 feet. And it has three toes to it.
Okay.
And
so
this is the second time.
How deep was the indentation in the ground, or was that?
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Wow. I didn't have a ruler there, but just say it was deep enough that left an imprint in the mud. And it wasn't that deep, but if something weighed maybe, you're probably talking a baby or something, maybe 15 pounds, and maybe the weight was about 15 or 20 pounds. You're not talking something big. You're talking something real small with these toes and this foot, and it's just on 2 feet.
Let me ask you this. Could you tell any prints inside the impression? Could you see a mid-torsal break or anything?
No. It looks like I say, I'll get it to you guys Monday. It just looks like you can see if you take your foot and if I take my shoe off right now and take my sock off right now, and I step in the mud, you're going to leave that nice footprint, and that's what I'm finding. But it's a small footprint, and it has three toes to it.
Has the weather changed up there yet?
Yeah, it's getting worse. I think it's 2012 ain't here yet, but no, it's been terrible up here. It's been rain, floods, thunderstorms every night. We had sunshine for about 2 days up here, and that's about it. It's raining right now, believe it or not, and it's very cold and windy out here. But I noticed a couple nights ago, we have dogs out here. We have a house with a couple dogs up here next to the creek, and I hear the dogs barking at night and howling at night. And, you know, I can't go out late at night because it's just so dark out here, you can't even see your hand. So, you know, I thought, well, they're just barking at nothing, so obviously this creature might be running around out here. I do hear sometimes out here late at night, I do hear something like making, you know, screaming, this little pitchy noise. So whatever out here is out here, and I'm going to continue to investigate, and I'll be down there tomorrow morning again in that area. But obviously it's going up and down the creek, and, you know, I just got to wait and hope I can bump into it.
Listen, Jim, thanks so much for taking the time out tonight, and say hello to your mama. And at the same point in time, thanks for all your help and keep us informed. we wait to hear on your next report.
Yeah, it's great being on your show, and I was just I was in the library today. Like I said, I was watching Bigfoot the movie, and I just want to tell you, buddy, I don't want to hold up your show, but we were discussing that foot you found. Where did you find that foot? With the one, the leg, with the webbed feet?
Oh, that was in Montana. That was in Montana.
You got
reservation.
Oh, yeah. People, you got to get Bigfoot Lives the movie and look at this foot, because it is so real. And I just looked at it, I'm like, wow, those web feet is just, like, you know, amazing. All right, Tom, I got to get off the phone now. Let everybody else get on. But I'll send Bill the photos on Monday, and, you know, you guys can look at them. And I'll keep you informed if I find any more photos, footprints down here, or if I find the who's ever making them. Yeah, I'll give you a call.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Take care.
All right. Hey,
got
nice
a lot
talking
more
to you.
Ahead
of okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
Great guy, that Tim Holmes. Hey, Marco, let's go to commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were in the war.
Back to you, Tom.
Thanks, good buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never seen it yet, you've heard us talk about it. You're going to hear us continually talk about it. The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Went back into the studio. It was remastered, but all the original stuff is still there. And I'll tell you what, it flows wonderfully, and it's just an accomplishment that I have nothing but praises to talk about, and the people who see it are the same way. The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Go out and get it, ladies and gentlemen. Get it on Amazon.com or go to our website, searching for Bigfoot, and go shopping for Bigfoot there on our website. You know what? Let's get out there to Arizona. Mitch Waite and Alex, my boy, he's out there, both out there on the Mogollon Rim. You guys out there?
Yeah, we're here.
Hi, Pop. Hi, how you doing, son? How you doing, Mitch? How's Mama, first off?
She's hanging in there pretty good, feisty as ever.
That's great. That is great. I'm really happy to hear that. What's the weather like by you guys?
You want to tell us? It's gorgeous out. We're looking at one of the most incredible sunsets right now. We pretty much got a 360-degree view of Arizona, probably for 50 miles in each way. We're probably about 60 degrees right now. It's starting to cool off. But I want to say down in the valley, they were probably in the 90s today, and we had good temperatures. I don't have a figure in the vehicle, but probably 75, 85, 80 around there.
Where are you at exactly right now? Because I was there with you, remember?
So you know exactly where we are right now. You were with us. We're right at the tower on the top of that peak in the hot zone. We've already said hi to Red and to Moby, the dog, Roper. And we're just sitting up here. We came up here to get the better signal. We couldn't get a signal on the road below, so we had to come all the way up to the top. My phone's not getting a signal at all, so we're both on Mitch's phone. And we had a TV crew here with us today. We had a little bit of action. Mitch and I caught a smell coming out of one of the offshoots of this road. We were about a mile off this road. We caught a skunky type of smell. We pulled over. We got a whiff of it again. We walked into the woods. We lost it. It seemed to be permeating from a definite direction. So we walked to that direction. We heard a couple of grunts, and the smell went away, so we assume it got downwind of us and we couldn't keep up with it. But we were on to something for a few minutes. We had the smell and we had a couple of grunts.
Wonderful, wonderful. What happened with the game cameras?
We haven't put them out yet. We're going to put them out tomorrow. We picked them up a month ago, the last time we were up here, and Mitch has been in Utah, so there was no cameras up here for a month. Today we basically did the same route that we did with Rob and you back in November with the TV crew. So we've been busy all day. We had just a little bit of time to get some firewood. We haven't really even set up camp yet, and we had to shoot back up to the top of the mountain so we could make the show.
How long are you guys there for?
We'll be here until tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening.
Okay. What happened with the when you brought all those cameras back, Mitch? Did you go through them all?
Yes, I did, and on most of them, I got pictures of the sky and pictures of the ground. Nothing in them. And, you know, that was the same case when we got the camera that was beat up. The lens on it got messed up pretty bad. And we had a lot of yellow water that poured out of it. We're not sure if that was urine or not, but we think it was. But this camera was 15 feet up a tree when it got beat up and got peed on.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. Well, is the TV people still there with you guys?
No, they headed out. I don't think they wanted to spend the night. I think they have to be paid overtime if they're staying overnight. So I think they headed back early.
Gotcha. I understand. Okay. Well, listen, you guys be safe out there, and anything comes about, give us a jingle real quick, will you?
Will do.
Yeah, we got a lot more show. Listen in, because I know how long it takes you go from on top of that bluff all the way back down. So listen for another half hour. We got some good stuff coming up, okay?
Okay.
Say hello to Mama for me, too.
Will do.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
all right, son.
Thanks,
take care of yourself. Thanks for stopping in with us.
We'll call you when we get home.
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Alex Hearn and Mitch Waite. They're out on expedition right now as we speak. They were up on top of the mountain up there. I got to tell you guys a story. We were there, and God, is it destitute. And I, you know, check in with the office and let everybody know where we're at. And if they don't hear from us from time to time, you know, give the coordinates where we are and all that. Well, when we were there, and I do that, next thing I know, they didn't hear from us, but they forgot about the time change, ladies and gentlemen. Because, you know, we travel all over the damn country, and we got all these different times, period. You know, that's the way it's all about, right? So what happened was they had called into the sheriff's department stating that they didn't hear from us and we were lost. But we caught him in time, and that happened up there, right where they're at. You know, I'm going to tell you, we're on our way, ladies and gentlemen, and Louisiana is our next stop, believe it or not. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of good things are going on. I'm not going to tell you where. But without any further ado, let's look for our friend Larry in Louisiana. Larry, are you there?
Yeah, Larry, I think you got your speakers on your computer on. You need to turn it off.
Oh, okay.
It's feeding back to you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Something's feeding back, huh?
Yeah.
Is it still feeding back?
Yeah. Well, maybe not now.
Maybe not now.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Okay, how about now? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Larry had contacted me, and I'm going to tell you a story. When we filmed in the shadow of Bigfoot, we did a lot of filming in the area of St. Charles, St. Charles Parish. And I'll be damned, after 20-some-odd years, I get a call from this guy, and he's got some interesting things going on. I don't want... You'd give him too much detail, Larry, because you know we're on our way, but just in generalities, tell everybody what you've seen and what the area is like.
Well, like I said, I'm not going to give no locations, but I have about between two rivers. There's an island sandbar and about 400,000 acres. And we used to camp out there all the time. And way more than I can count on my fingers and toes. And not just me, a couple of my friends. And we always kept it hush-hush. We didn't want people going out there and ruining our spot or making it where we can't go back out there no more. So that was the main reason. And we didn't want people to think we was crazy. They didn't have the technology they have today. So really don't know too much of what you want to know. But
well, let me ask you this. How many sightings have they had in the last 20 years?
I can't count all the people, and most of them are passed away. Most of them told us they had sightings all the time in a particular area. And we started hanging in that particular area, and we started having sightings all the time. We just really would never invade their territory. Try to stay out of that particular area. The old people told us, don't go out there, especially after dark. Stay on this side of the river. We made the mistake of camping out on the other side of the river, and they got a little bit close. Close enough to where you can feel the breath. And I know it was an accident how I got them to come up on us is by digging a large hole in the sand, square, about 4 foot deep, 10 by 10, and sleeping in the bottom of that instead of in a sleeping bag because it's so cold and wind's blowing over the hole. Well, they're curious enough to want to come up because they can't see a tent, can't see you moving around. They'll come up and look and see what's in the hole. And that's the closest encounter I'll probably say I ever had. When sand's falling around the hole on top of you because they're walking around the hole and want to know why. That was the last time we camped out over there.
Let me ask you this. You know, when we talked back, you brought back so many memories. I got to share this with you and my listeners. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, sir.
When we were out there, we had the help do you remember Marcello?
Sir?
You remember the name Marcello from Louisiana?
I think so.
Okay. Because when I say that name, this guy used to dump bodies in Lake Charles.
Oh.
Lake Charles was noted for that. You know, you gave me goosebumps. I got to be honest with you when we chatted. Ladies and gentlemen, that place is notorious for cottonmouths, water moccasins. You know, you think chiggers are bad? They got some grass out there. I forget the name of it. What's it called?
Mohair.
Mohair, right?
Mohair.
Yeah. You get this stuff on you before you do anything. You got to urinate on it, on yourself, where you touched you. Otherwise, you're in a world of hurt. Is that not true?
It'll cripple cattle and horses.
Hey, Larry's on the radio.
Yeah. That you know, I'll never forget that stuff. You know, it's amazing, Larry, that, you know, we travel around this country and we get to find out new breeds of insects and animals and weeds and all that kind of crap. Unbelievable. Totally unbelievable. So let me ask you this, okay? In the territory, what'd you say it was, 400 acres?
400,000.
400,000 acres. This is huge. How many people do you think know about this area and are out there all the time?
Nobody goes over there.
Nobody goes there?
No, sir. Well, they used to back in the day, but with kids today, they're too stuck on computer games and stuff like that to want to go in the woods. And you actually have to do a little bit of walking. And cross a river, and traipse through the woods for half a day. But
And there's not a lot of people that'll go out and do that. Isn't that true?
Not anymore.
Yeah, those days.
Well, and then when I was growing up, they didn't used to have a fence everywhere. Now, there's a fence or a gate or a lock everywhere because the crime has just spread out so much. That's why they don't want to be seen. They're scared they're going to be jacked.
No, I totally understand. You know, for those
Jesus
who live in the city, okay, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Larry, give them a little hint about that. But they all figure, oh, well, my God, you can't get lost today. Well, they have GPS and they got satellite and all that other good stuff.
I know places God ain't found yet.
That's right. Wrong. So if somebody got out there in that territory where you're talking about in these 400,000 acres, how hard would it be for somebody to be found?
You wouldn't be found. Pretty much in every state in the United States, a body decomposes in like 14 to 18 days to 30 days. In Louisiana, 5 to 7 days tops. The worms and the critters will suck it down in a matter of minutes. That's why most bodies ain't found in Louisiana.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. It's amazing, you know. I get chills when I think about it because I was there. Okay, I was in Lake Charles, and believe it or not, it was a three-toed creature down there in Louisiana. And it was something that was inbred. I'm a firm believer of that. And this, I forget the guy's name. He was a bean farmer. And we were called down there. And they had an Andouille festival going on. They still got that?
Yes, sir. Crawfish festival, rabbit festival, Marsland festival. We're some festival people.
You bet.
We're very festive.
Yes. Well, I got to tell you. I was glad to hear from somebody in your neck of the woods. You brought back a lot of memories. I can't wait to come down and meet you and go out and see what we can find. And I want to thank you for sharing with us, by the way.
Hey, look.
Well, I'd say that one of the reasons why I live here, it's probably the only place, the only state in the United States you could eat right out of the ditch and survive well.
That's true. It's true. I don't know if you know it or not. You know, every Thursday night, on the History Channel, they have a show called The Swamp People.
Oh, yeah. They're right in my neighborhood, not very far from me.
Well, yeah. Well, down there in Slidell, outside of Slidell, is the Honey Island Swamp Monster and Terrell Evans. He's been on our new movie, Bigfoot Lives.
So I'd have to say that I do have family in Chicago, and I have lived in the city, East Coast, West Coast. I'm domesticated for a swamp person.
There you go. Yeah, I know it. Well, we've been out in all of it. We've been in all kinds of swamp. I've been in your area many times. You know, I've watched those cotton mouths. Now, you were telling me, tell my audience out there, how many times you've been bit by cotton mouths?
Been about 15 times. I can't tell you how many times by spiders.
Were you bit by any recluses?
Oh, yes. I'm immune to them now.
Is that right?
But I'm also pretty much immune to taking 95% of the antibiotics on the planet.
So what do you do when you get real sick bad?
You try not to get real sick bad. The last time I was bit so many times in the same day that I've pretty much been trying not to go under houses and in the swamps and too many places that I can get bit anymore. And if you do, you can carry a dirt dauber in a matchbox and put that in your pocket. It emits an ultrasonic signal that makes all spiders stay away from you. It's the only spider's natural enemy, and you don't see dirt daubers in spider web nests. It's the other way around.
You know, I got to tell you a story. You're probably right. Somebody just mentioned to me that there's a new deal out there from Off, you know, the stuff Off that you spray, you don't have to spray anymore. There's this thing that has like a fan, eliminates this kind of must, and you put it on your belt or your knapsack or something that you're carrying on your whatever you're wearing that day, and it gives you a circled barrier, okay, all around you that keeps these, all the bugs away. And I can't wait to get into a real big town to find out where I can get this stuff because, you know, I am any type of critter, bug, snake, spider that's out there just loves my blood, if you know what I'm talking about.
Well, do not eat anything that has high potassium in it, and you won't get eight. And
well,
not a lot of salt.
It's something new now, because I've gone through vitamin B, taking the vitamin B. I've gotten...
but no potassium. You eat a banana, and they'll be all over you. Bad. Do not eat anything with potassium in it. Been living out here too long.
Really? What about the seven powders?
No, we use a cream that actually comes from Avon that pretty much keeps them away.
Powder number four, son.
Skin's so soft, they don't like it.
Really?
Really.
Well, I'm gonna try two.
It sounds unusual, but...
Because I've been through it all. Man, I'll tell you, I've been bitten up so bad that they use me as a pincushion. In any event, it was good talking with you, Larry. Thank you so much for coming on. We're on our way. And do me a favor, mute yourself out. There's still a lot more show ahead of us. And thanks for sharing with us, buddy.
All right, man.
God
bless. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Larry down there in Louisiana. Can't wait to be up there and hooking up with him. Let's go to commercial air, good buddy Bill.
Here we go.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there. And we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world. Because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on. By the work that we've done all these years.
Say it's not you. Bigfoot lives in a movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And back to you, Tom.
Okay, buddy. Well, I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? When Larry first contacted me, it just brought back so many memories. You know, I spent... Gosh, I think a week down there, and we love those people. Oh, my God, the people down there are just wonderful. You have no idea. So hospitable. But I'll tell you this, the humidity will kill you. Take book on that. I'll never forget it. We used to get back when we'd get to a real hotel or something. We'd get in there. The damn sheets were wet from the air conditioning. It was tough, I'll tell you, especially being from where we've been. You know what? I love talking with this guy. He's down there in Kentucky now. You've heard me talk about him on the air many, many times, Leroy Blevins. And this guy has done some remarkable work. I mean remarkable work. Leroy, you out there?
Yes, I'm here, Tom.
How are you, good buddy?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, I got to tell you, it's... We keep on keeping on, and thanks, you know, thank God that you're there. It's wonderful. It's just really wonderful. So it's just that the work that you're doing, the stuff that you're accomplishing, I wish to God that you'd tell everybody out there on the globe what happened when you talked to M.K. Davis and told him what you saw.
Well, he's just kind of pissed off at me right now because of I've found some stuff that he didn't want out that he's going to think I'm going to take all the credit for, so that's why I haven't been saying nothing about it.
No, don't leave it at that, Leroy. I don't want you to leave it like that. I want you to tell my listeners around the globe, because I saw what you found. MK apparently saw what you found. And you got to tell it. You got to let loose with this. Let everybody know.
Okay, that tracking dog film that he's been showing and stuff like that, that actually was filmed by DeHinden. And that was also filmed at the same time Patterson filmed his film up there at Blue Creek Mountain. That's where actually everything was filmed. The film was actually filmed, well, actually both films was filmed on Labor Day weekend of 1967. So that gave them 3 days to do all their filming and stuff. And then when the work crews came back after the Labor Day weekend, the tracks they actually found and seen was the tracks left by John Green, John Green, Bob Titmus, Rene DeHinden, and Roger Patterson.
So there's people here that are scratching their head right now, Leroy. Try to do a time encounter and put this thing together that they can understand it. You know, just the guy walking in now onto the show or tuning in. So in other words, what you're saying is that purported film that was supposedly shot October 22nd, 1967, was not shot then?
No. Because, see, actually, people don't understand about the Patterson and Gimlin film. Actually, the real name of the Patterson and Gimlin film is called Bigfoot, America's Abominable Snowman. Because every copy that they made, that's the title they put on it. Because the title is marked at the end of all the films. And at the end of the film, it's always stating Bigfoot, America's Abominable Snowman. Not, it wasn't marked Patterson's film or Patterson and Gimlin's film. The name of the film is actually Bigfoot, Abominable Snowman. Well, when they start first showing this film that people really don't know, they're looking at the copies that's already done from 1968. They're not studying the 1967 film.
Wait. How could it be 1968 if everybody heard about it in 67?
The film that... Roger, what's that, Tom?
You mean 66 then, don't you?
No, 1967 is when Roger Patterson supposedly shot his film.
Correct.
Okay, but he was filming all... during the wintertime and summertime of 1967. The only film that he showed from his Bigfoot film was only 30 seconds of it. John Green and, John Green and DeHinden paid Roger Patterson $1,500 for a 30-second right to show the film in Canada. Okay, they only showed 30 seconds of the film. It wasn't until 1968 when Roger Patterson met Ron Olson that made it from a 30-second film all the way into a 20-minute documentary, because he had to take the films itself. All the films that Roger filmed during 1967, Ron Olson added all of it together, because his father bought a filming company in Salt Lake City called, American National Enterprises Incorporated, Salt Lake City, Utah. That's where the filming company was at. They took all Roger Patterson's film, pieced it together like the first walk when they first started filming the Bigfoot. Okay, that wasn't even an original showing of it. Only part they showed of the film was filmed at Bluff Creek. And that was when the Bigfoot walked across the log there, looks back, and then walks off to the woods. That's the only thing they ever shown, but it was too blurry. The color was not right or anything else. All the color was added by Ron Olson in 1968. All the details in the Bigfoot, the muscle movements and the hair flowing and stuff like that, that was all added in the film in 1968. But people's looking at the film, what Ron Olson, after he did what he did to the film. They're not looking at the original film because no one's seen the original film. Only one seen it was scientists and researchers and everything else. But they claim it was just a man in a suit from what they've seen. But after Ron Olson took the film in 1968, add more to it, add more sound to it. Like the scene of Roger Patterson running through the woods, that was not filmed at Bluff Creek. That was filmed in another location. Bob Gimlin going down the road, that was not filmed at Bluff Creek. That was at another location. Only thing that was filmed at Bluff Creek in general itself was the 30 seconds of film that they show of the Bigfoot looking back. That was the only thing filmed at Bluff Creek. Every other
thing. When was that filmed?
That was filmed during Labor Day weekend, 1967.
So that was in September.
Yeah. September, matter of fact, the dates were September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That gave them 3 days to do all their filming they needed to do.
Okay, so then they came out and lied to everyone and said it was done on the 22nd of October?
Well, they said it was done on October the 20th. Okay, but yeah, but that was just, like I said, that was just a front for there, because just like their stories changed, because I found a news article that was printed from the next day on October 21st, 1967, where they told the story of what happened. And the story that they tell there was Roger Patterson's horse reared up. He hurt his foot. His camera, he looked in his saddlebag, and his camera was hanging out, so he grabbed the camera and started running after it. And he said, you know, Bob, look. Okay, and as he was running after it, the pack horse was going crazy. It was set free. And also, Bob Gimlin's horse that he was riding had to be set free because it was going wild, too. Even though it was a trail horse and it was an older horse, but it still reared, and he had to set it free. So now you got Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin at the film site by themselves with no horses around, no rifles or nothing. Okay? That was the first story told, and that was printed in the next day's paper, because they said they mailed the film out in Eureka, California, to the Attlee. That story was told October 21st, 1967, the day after they supposedly filmed the Bigfoot.
Okay, so when you found all this out, and you told this to M.K. Davis, what did M.K. Davis tell you?
Well, M.K. Davis got more... He didn't always say too much about that. What he got mainly pissed off about at me was when I was going over his tracking dog film, and I pieced some of their foot tracks that they got was also seen in the Patterson film at the end. Then I sat there and said, well, the Hendons want to film this film, which no one knew who filmed it. He just called it tracking dog film, and that was it. He got mad at me because I found out the Hendon filmed the film. He was there at the same time as John Green, Bob Tenemas, and Roger Patterson. That's why you see horse droppings in that tracking dog film. That's why you see horse tracks along the road in that tracking dog film, because that was all filmed at the same time. Like the part where they show Roger Patterson making the cast prints and stuff. That was not actually filmed at Bluff Creek. That was actually filmed up in the mountains of Blue Creek right there by the roadside. But people's looking at it as, oh, no, it's a creek bed. No, it wasn't. It was actually on the roadside that Roger Patterson was making him cast prints.
Let me ask you this. So what role did John Green play in this whole thing?
Honestly, just to back it up, because when Ron Olson, like I said, when he took over the film, he also took over the second copy of Roger Patterson's book at the same time that he took over the film. And that's why John Green, for years, was always out looking for his own Bigfoot, because at the beginning, he really never said too much about Roger Patterson's film. It's just here in the past few years that John Green's back in the film, but he's still looking for Bigfoot to prove it. But he's really not sure about the PG film, it seems like to me. But that's my opinion. Because if he was so sure that Roger Patterson filmed the real Bigfoot, then he said, well, there's the evidence, but he's not looking for that. He's looking for different evidence of his own, because to me it seems like he's really not sure that it was a real creature that he filmed.
So, okay, now let's try to put this puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
We think we know the dates when this stuff was all taken, and they were all different than what's been purported that the common person sees today and goes out and looks for. Who was the guy in the suit?
Like I said, when I studied the walk of the Bigfoot, and by going on what Bob Hieronymus claimed about the car keys in his pocket, and the way he has motion, not only the way he walks, but the motion of his feet as it walks, it matches up to Bob Hieronymus.
And you know, I got to tell you something. We were up there and filmed Bob Hieronymus. We gave Bob Gimlin an opportunity to get on film. But he heard we were in town, and he locked himself up in his house. And you'll see me going to his door, knocking on his door, and his cars are all out there, and his lights are on. And we also went to see Patricia, Patterson's wife. So you're remarkable. You are totally so how'd you leave it with M.K. Davis?
Well, I was just trying to make amends with them. I said, you know, if that's what you said, that's your research, okay? If it was his research, I said, if I found it, then someone else can find it. So I sit there and I just said, you can have that part, I don't care.
So did he know, when you brought that up to him, did he understand, and did he know about it?
Well, he claims he knew about it, okay? But it's like everything else I sent out to other researchers and everything else. When I sent him something, they said, oh, we know about this, we know about that. Well, if you knew about this and you knew about that, why haven't you already posted it? But no one posted it.
Exactly.
That's what gets me.
Yeah. So what's your final synopsis on the PG film?
Okay, the PG film, like I said, people don't understand. They're looking at the copies after Ron Olson got a hold of them because he claimed that he had more details to the film. He had the fall colors to the film to give it more of a brightness to it. He had more details to the Bigfoot. So honestly, when you're doing any kind of research on a Patterson and Gimlin film, you cannot take that research seriously because all you're doing is looking at stuff that was added to the film. It's not from the original film. Original film, the film is blurry. You cannot make no details out in the Bigfoot whatsoever. And it's more dull colors than it is any bright colors. So with that in mind, and from all the background I've done, all the research I've done, it was nothing but a hoax, just like they claim no one can make a copy of the Bigfoot suit. There ain't no way they could do it. These are said by costume makers and everything else. Hey, I made a copy of it. Why can't they?
And I might add, the copy of the suit that you made was pretty incredible. As a matter of fact, didn't you tell me that John Green himself told you that that was the closest imitation to the PG film that he's ever seen?
Yes, he told me that in the email that he sent me because I sent him I asked him some questions because to me, I always go straight to the person. I don't go behind their back or nothing or have somebody else tell me. I don't go for the hearsay stuff. I go right to the person themselves. So I sent him photos of my Bigfoot suit of me in it, and he says that's the closest that he's ever seen to the film. It's exactly what the film shows, what I have on my suit.
It's totally incredible. Leroy, why don't you give everybody out there your website so they can go out and see more about this and contact you and talk to you about it.
Okay, my website is pgfilm.webs.com/, and on there you're going to find my email address and everything else. Should be on the front page. If it's not, I'll probably look over it tonight and make sure it's on the front page, and they can email me anytime. If they want me to send photos to them, I'll send photos to them.
Fantastic.
You know.
Thank you, Leroy, so much from the bottom of my heart. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Becky Butello's back in the chat room. Becky, hope everything is well. I hope you're feeling well. Everybody still loves you. I can see all that. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. Kudos and salutations. Happy Mother to all you mothers around the globe, coming up on Sunday. Good night.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints out in Ball Club?
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and
like
everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Manufactured.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason, thought.